three excerpts. First, Mozart, then Wagner, then Schönberg. You can already hear the progression. In the Mozart, you knew where the music lived. In the Wagner, that certainty began to fray. In the Schönberg, the old idea of home may have ceased to matter at all.
That is our subject. Not dissonance by itself. Not modern music as a slogan. And not the lazy notion that music simply became chaotic over time. Something more interesting happened. Composers took the tonal system, one of the most powerful organizing systems in Western art, and pressed it until its inner logic began to shift.
That shift did not happen all at once. It happened by degrees, by appetite, by curiosity, by audacity. If you can hear those degrees, later music stops sounding arbitrary. It starts sounding necessary.
In the last harmony lecture, we spoke about function. Tonic, dominant, cadence. Home, tension, return. That system is not a technical detail. It is one of the great engines of Western music. It tells the listener where they are, it tells them what has been left behind, and it tells them with remarkable force when something has come back into alignment.
But no artistic system remains untouched once gifted people inhabit it long enough. They stretch it, they cloud it. They discover that rules are not only rules, they are opportunities.
So today we follow three developments. First, modulation, the movement from one key to another. Second, chromaticism, tones that do not belong, strictly speaking, to the home key. Third, the gradual weakening of the tonal center itself.
The line is not perfectly straight. History never is. But the arc is real. Mozart modulates with sovereign clarity. Chopin deepens the harmonic atmosphere. Wagner discovers how much tension a listener can bear. Debussy loosens the old gravitational field. Schönberg steps into a space where gravity no longer governs.
That is the journey.
And the point is not that you memorize jargon. The point is that you hear the ground moving under the music.
A few terms first.
Diatonic. Music that stays mostly within the notes of its key. The music is drawing from its own native material. Nothing foreign has yet entered the bloodstream.
Chromatic. Music that uses tones from outside the home key.
Chromaticism adds color, friction, ache, and uncertainty. You often hear it before you can name it. Something darkens, or leans, or glows strangely.
Modulation. A real move into a new key. Not just a passing chord. A new center.
Tonal center. The pitch or harmony that feels like home. Even when the root becomes complicated, your ear still senses the pull of that center.
Enharmonic. A note or chord that can be spelled in more than one way while sounding the same.
For composers, this becomes a hinge. A harmony turns, is respelled, and opens into a different key.
Whole tone scale. A scale built entirely of whole steps. It weakens tonal hierarchy. It softens pull. It often sounds suspended.
Pentatonic. A five-note scale. In certain contexts, it can sound spare, open, or strangely unburdened.
Atonality. Music with no stable tonal center. Not merely harsh music. Not merely difficult music. Music in which home no longer serves as the main organizing idea.
Tone row. An ordering of all 12 tones of the chromatic scale. In 12-tone practice, the row becomes the source of structure instead of a key.
Let us begin with Mozart, because one must begin with clarity before one can understand its dissolution. In Mozart, modulation is not a crisis, it is proportion. A phrase establishes itself. A key becomes legible. And then, with astonishing tact, the music begins to move. Not lurch, not wander, move.
Listen now. Notice two things only. First, how firmly the opening establishes home. Second, the moment when the music is no longer there. Do not worry about naming the destination. That is not the task. Feel the departure. There it is. The old center does not collapse. It yields. That is the classical achievement. The music can leave home without losing dignity. It can arrive somewhere else without sounding confused. In Mozart, harmonic movement is intelligible because the architecture is intelligible. And that matters.
Tonal music is not only expressive, it is orienting. It teaches the ear where it is.
Now Chopin. If Mozart gives us proportion, Chopin gives us atmosphere. Home still exists. We have not lost that. But the path toward it and away from it has become more shaded. A note appears that should not be there. A chord acquires a tinge of sorrow, or perfume, or fatigue. The phrase does not merely proceed, it sighs. That is chromaticism, not the destruction of tonality. It's enrichment, it's complication, it's inward turn. Listen to this Chopin excerpt. Attend not only to the melody, seductive though it is, but to the harmony beneath it. Listen for the moment when the air changes color. That is the essential experience. You are still inside the tonal world, but it is no longer a world of pure outline. The edges have softened. The emotional weather has deepened. Mozart tells you where you are. Chopin tells you what it feels like to remain there. And once chromaticism enters so deeply into the language, the old system begins carrying new emotional burdens.
Now Wagner.
There are moments in music history when one feels not merely that a composer has written beautifully, but that he has discovered a new pressure the art can bear. The opening of Tristan und Isolde is one of those moments. It is often discussed too crudely, as though one chord shattered tonality in a single stroke. That is not quite true. The history is subtler and more interesting. What Wagner does is not abolish tonal desire, he radicalizes it.
Listen, and ask one question only. When am I allowed to rest?
Yes, that is the point. You wait for the cadence. The cadence recedes. You wait again. Again it recedes. In earlier tonal music, tension exists in order to be discharged. In Wagner, tension begins to assume a life of its own.
It is no longer merely a means. It becomes the condition of the music. That is the decisive change. The listener is no longer simply moving from departure to arrival. The listener is made to dwell inside postponed fulfillment. If Mozart governs motion, Wagner governs delay. And in Wagner, delay becomes destiny.
Debussy arrives at the edge of tonality by a different temperament. Wagner stretches the system through hunger. Debussy relaxes the system through color. That distinction matters.
In Debussy, harmony often ceases to sound obligatory. Chords do not always behave as stages in an argument. They appear, hover, dissolve, and reappear elsewhere. The old hierarchy weakens. The need to arrive weakens with it.
Listen now. Do not ask where the cadence is. Do not listen for dominant and tonic as though the piece owed you that answer. Listen instead for suspension, for shimmer, for drift, for the freedom that appears when harmony is governed more by sonority than by compulsion.
Wagner's instability aches. Debussy's instability floats. That is not a small difference. It is a difference in musical temperament. In Wagner, desire survives and intensifies. In Debussy, desire diffuses into atmosphere. The tonal system has not disappeared, but it no longer rules in quite the old way. The center is still there, perhaps, yet it no longer commands with the same force.
And then Schönberg. At this point, many listeners become impatient. They say, "Very well, I understand chromaticism, instability, delayed resolution, but why go further? Why leave the old world at all?" Because for some composers, the old world had begun to feel exhausted. Its gestures were too familiar, its promises too inherited, its destinations too well known.
So Schönberg asks the radical question, what if no one pitch has the right to rule? What if music does not need a home key in order to possess order?
Listen now, and do not ask this music to behave like Mozart. That would be unfair to both of them. Listen for other things. Contour, interval, attack, density, recurrence without tonal return.
This is not music without structure. It is music whose structure is no longer grounded in home and away. That is difficult to hear at first, because our ears have been trained, by centuries of tonal practice, to seek gravity. But if you stop insisting on gravity, other forms of coherence begin to emerge.
And now the historical arc becomes audible.
Mozart moves securely within the tonal world. Chopin saturates it. Wagner prolongs it to the point of strain. Debussy loosens it. Schoenberg steps beyond it. That is not the whole history of modern music, but it is one of its central lines. And once you hear that line, later music becomes less baffling and more inevitable.
This lecture reaches backward to the first harmony lecture because everything here depends on your earlier sense of tonic, dominant, and cadence. It also points forward into the timeline track, the big questions track, and the modernist portions of the course, where the weakening of tonal certainty becomes one of the central historical facts. It also changes the way you hear earlier repertoire. After this, Mozart's clarity is not merely pleasant. It is historical clarity. Chopin's chromaticism is not merely expressive. It is a pressure on the system. Wagner is not merely excessive. He is transitional. Debussy is not merely pretty. He is rearranging the terms of harmonic life.
The point of a lecture like this is to send you back to familiar music with altered ears.
Check yourself. I am going to play 3 short excerpts. For each one, ask only this. Is the music clearly centered? Is it suspended? Or has the center ceased to govern what I am hearing? Nothing more complicated than that.
If the first felt grounded, that is because tonal center was still doing its work. If the second felt hovering, that is because the old gravitational field had weakened. If the third felt unmoored, that is because tonal center was no longer the principal source of order. And now, one necessary refinement. Dissonant does not mean atonal. Wagner is dissonant. He is not atonal. Debussy may weaken tonal pool. He does not abolish it. That distinction is one of the chief things this lecture is trying to teach your ear. Before next time, listen to the opening of Tristan und Isolde, and then to Debussy's prelude to the Afternoon of a Faun. Do not listen passively. Ask, in each case, what has happened to harmonic gravity? In Wagner, the answer is longing without relief. In Debussy, the answer is color without compulsion. 2 ways of loosening the old tonal world. 2 very different futures.